464. It could be a few of these psukim we learned, but we have to get into it again. So we're going to start from chapter 28, five lines down on 464. Before we're learning about the menorah, you know, the kindling of the menorah and so on. Now he's going to be discussing until most of the parsha about the garments of the Kohen and the garments of the Kohen Gadol. Now the Kohen, a regular Kohen, wore four garments, basically were white garments. Kohen Gadol wore an additional four garments, making it altogether eight, and they were called Big Days Of because they all had gold in them. Okay, so this is what we're going to be learning now. So it says like, V'ata akri v'alecha, es Aaron achicha, you should bring closer Aaron and his son, and his children, Mitech b'nei Yisrael, from the rest, from the midst of the children of the b'nei Yisrael, lechahane li, to serve to me, to be a kohen for me. Who are the sons? Aaron, Nadav, and Avihu, Elazar, v'Isamar b'nei Aaron. Now Aaron's all four children were alive, so he says, who were the four kids? Nadav and Avihu, Elazar, and Isamar. Okay, later on, Nadav and Avihu died. But at this point of the game, Nadav and Avihu were still alive, so Aaron has four sons. Now, as we learned, which is important to know, Pinchas was already born. Elazar's son Pinchas was already born, but he was not anointed as a Kohen at this stage of the game. Because God said to Aaron, bring you and your four sons. I'm making them Kohanim. Any person born after that will be Kohanim. Pinchas, though, was born already, and he wasn't appointed as a Kohen. So therefore, in a practical sense, Pinchas was not a Kohen at this stage of the game. Okay?
In this pasuk, he's not even talking about...
He's not even mentioned...
The forever. The...
Right. Come in. We don't bite. Let's pick any seat you want. He's not even mentioned, though. But the Mefarshim explain, that's why the Torah says, Vezban of Itay. Because it says, Nadav and Avi Elazar v'Isamar. So why does it have to say, take his kids, if it already says, says the name of the four kids? So the answer is, because it excludes Pinchas. Pinchas was born, and he wasn't appointed as a Kohen yet, and therefore, now, at this time, as the Mefarshim explain, why does Hashem tell Moshe, take Aaron to you? Moshe Rabbeinu wanted and was expecting really to be the Kohen Gadol. This is the first time God is telling Moshe clearly that you will not be a Kohen Gadol, only Aaron is going to be a Kohen Gadol. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu expected and thought that he would be the Kohen Gadol. But Hashem said to him that because you refused when I sent you at the burning bush to go redeem the Jews, and you kept refusing, out of modesty granted, but he kept refusing God's mission. So God said, because if you look over there, it's a very interesting pasuk. By the burning bush it says, Aaron Alevi are your brother. At that time Aaron was a Levi, and Moshe was supposed to be the Kohen Gadol. But because he refused what Hashem told him to do, it, so Hashem took it away from Moshe and gave the kohuna to Aaron. Now, even though Aaron was part of sinning in the Egel, and then Farshim asks an interesting question, there's a law that a Kohen who worships idols cannot work as a Kohen. So the question is, how could Aaron, he himself made the Egel, we didn't learn the story yet, but obviously everybody knows that when the Jews wanted to build a golden calf, they came to Aaron, said, give me their gold, I'll make it for you. But the bottom line was, Aaron made the Egel. And Mefarshim explained, the Medrash says, that's why two of Aaron's children died. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, after Aaron made the Egel, Moshe Rabbeinu prayed for Aaron, and it helped halfway that two of his kids died and two of his kids didn't die. So the question is, how could Aaron be a Kohen Gadol if he participated in the process of the Egel? So the Medrash gives an analogy of a king who had a son, a prince, and the son decided he wants to become his own boss. He was a rebellious kid. So what did he do? he decided he's going to dig a tunnel underneath the king's palace, and then the whole palace will cave in. He wanted to destroy the father's palace because he wanted to be the king. So he went at the time at night, you know, when nobody was looking, and he takes his tutor with him. He had a tutor, so he took the tutor with him. And the kid's about to start digging. So the tutor says to the kid, you know what? Listen to me. I'm bigger than you. I'm stronger than you. Give me the shovel. I'll dig the tunnel. When the prince gives the shovel over to the tutor, they're caught by the guards. And they realize they want to undermine the whole palace. So they bring them to the king. And the king was a smart guy. And he says to the tutor, don't worry about it. I'm not holding you guilty. Because I know the reason why you took the shovel away from my son is that you should do it slower and you should get caught, that my son shouldn't undermine the entire palace. So Hashem said the same thing was with Aaron. Hashem knew Aaron didn't want to worship the eagle. Aaron didn't want to make the eagle. Why did Aaron tell the Jews, bring me the gold and I'll do it? Because he knew if everybody did it together, it would be finished right away. He wanted to stall time, that Moshe Rabbeinu should come back down from the mountain, and the Jews shouldn't have the eagle. So that's why Hashem says, Hakriv elecha sa'arin achicha, that even though you might think that he's not fit to be a Kohen Gadol because he made the eagle, nevertheless, don't worry about it. Bring him closer, he's going to. So Moshe Rabbeinu thought that he's going to be able to do it, and Hashem said, forget it. He's going to have to be the eagle. Okay. So he says now, Vasisa Bigdekadesh Liyadin Achicha, you should make the Bigdekadesh, the holy garments, for Aaron, your brother, Lechaved Ul Sephores, you should make it for glory and splendor. That means like this, the Kayanim, and we're going to soon learn about the donations that the people gave, the Kayanim were the people, were God's representatives on earth, but at the same time, they really represented all of the Jews. And that's why, as the Pasuk will say in the next Pasuk or two, that the garments of the Kohen Gadol had to be made from the donations of the Jews. The Jews had to donate money and the gold and the materials for the Kohen Gadol's garments, which were very expensive, by the way. They had expensive diamonds and stones on it, because the Kohanim actually represented the entire Jewish nation. So they had to participate in the actual garments of the Kohen Gadol, and they were made lechavid el sefardes for splendid and glory, because they had to look, you know, very, very great.
When you said the garment of the Kohen Gadol, it means there is four that are identical to regular Kohen, four type of garments that are identical.
Plus another four.
Plus four extras.
Right. That means even the Kohen Gadol wore the four garments of a regular Kohen, as we'll learn, plus four more. He wore the expensive. The Kohen Gadol wore the breastplate that had 12 stones on it, 12, you know, precious stones.
Must be heavy.
Huh?
Must be heavy.
I don't know, diamonds don't weigh that much. I mean, keys in your pocket probably weigh more than the diamonds. No, it was gold. I mean, the choshen, the breastplate, and the ephod. I mean, it was there. And the bells at the bottom, we'll learn about. I mean, there was a lot of stuff going on. Okay, so he says, you have to make him a kohen lekachi lechahanili. Now, the din was, because of all this, the Gemara learns out that a kohen must be wearing his garments when he works. If a Kohen will do the work in the temple without wearing the garments, it was not a kosher work. He had to make sure to wear, because the garments were part of it. The splendor and the significance of it was to be proper. V'ato pasuk gimel, v'ato tadaber kol chachmei lev, and you should speak to all wise men, asher meleisev ruach chochma, that I have invested with the spirit of wisdom. But also, as big they are, and they should make the garments of Aaron, lekachi, to sanctify him, lechahaneli, to serve for me. In other words, it had to be that the Kohen should be different than everybody else, because he was different, he was designated by Hashem to be able to work in the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, there's a din later, when it says, Akein HaGadol Me'achav, there's a law in Halacha, based on the Pasuk, that Akein God ought to be very wealthy. It says later on, Akein HaGadol Me'achav, in Parshas Emer, when it speaks who Akein is allowed to marry and not marry, and Akein Godl and so on. So it says, Akein HaGadol Me'achav. It says Akein not only had to be physically tall, but he had to be rich. Richer than the rest of the Kohanim. And it says if he wasn't, all the Kohanim had to give him money that he should become richer than them. Because he needed to be, you know, aloof, so to speak, physically and spiritually, more than all the other Kohanim. The Kohen Gadol had to be tall also. Okay. Now the reason like we're saying that it had that they made the garments from the materials that everybody donated, because everybody, just like we learned by the sacrifices, everybody gave a half a shekel, then everybody had a participation in the korban. Every Jew had to participate in the garments of the Kohen Gadol because they did represent every individual Jew. Okay, so now he says like this, Ve'elab Godem Asheyas. The Torah is just going to say in this pasuk, it's going to enumerate 6 out of the 8 garments that the Kohen Gadol had to wear, and then they're going to explain them. So the Torah says, Ve'elab Godem Asheyas. These are the garments that had to be made. Cheshin, a breastplate. Ephed, we'll just say what then the pasuk explains them. And Ephed is like an apron. Me'il is a robe. Uchsein is tashbet, a tunic, which is knitted and looks like different boxes. Mitznefes v'avnet, a turban, v'avnet and a gartel, a sash that they had to wear. These are the, and it says an interesting thing. The pasuk is only saying 6 out of the 8 garments. If you look in the pasuk, even though Kohen Gadol wore 8, the pasuk says which are the ones that he had: choshen, ephod, me'il, ksenis tashbeis, Mitznefes and Avnit, which is 6. In addition to this, there are 2 more garments that the Kohen Gadol wore that the Torah is not mentioning now. One is the tzitz, which is not actually a garment, but a gold plate that he wore on his head. It is a very interesting headgear of a Kohen. He wore a turban and a tzitz, plus he needed a place to wear tefillin. So his whole system on the head of the Kohen Gadol, how he was able to wear a turban, this gold plate, plus place for tefillin, that we'll learn later how it worked with the Kohen Gadol. Now, in addition to that, they had mini pants. And there was not pants that went to the floor, but for modesty, like the Torah is going to say, they used to wear, all the Kohenim wore actually short pants. They didn't come down all the way to the end of the leg. They came down almost to the knee. And over that, they wore a robe and a thing that we'll see. The meal and the ksenis tashbet. So the pasuk is not mentioning the pants, the mechnasayim, because those were for modesty purposes. So they weren't royalty, so to speak. These garments are the garments of royalty. But also big dekedish, they should make the big dekedish La'aron achicha, and for Aaron your brother, or Levon for his children, lechahan eli, to minister to me, that they should be a kohen for me. Now the mafarshim learn, what does it mean lechahan eli? The garments had to be made exclusively for the kohen gadol. It wasn't like you can have a kohen gadol store, you know, that they just made samples and you go in go and pick your size. They had to be made exclusively. It had to be lishmi, for the sake of Hashem, that the Kohen should have these particular garments. They, meaning the wise people, should take the gold, the turquoise, the purple, the scarlet wool, and the linen. Because these are all the materials that they needed, as we'll learn, in the sewing and the weaving of the garments of the Kohen Gadol. So this basically is the introduction to this of what the actual garments are. Now, there's an interesting story in the Gemara, famous story in the Gemara. This guy was once walking outside a cheder, where kids were learning. And they were learning about the garments of the Kohen Gadol. And they were very impressive because they were really beautiful garments. When you look at the colors and the beauty of it was really very nice. So the guy asked the people in the school, who are these garments for? They said it's for the Kohen Gadol, for the high priest. So the Gemara tells the story, the guy went to Shammai and said to Shammai, convert me on the condition I become a Kohen Gadol. I'll convert to be on the condition of being the high priest. So it says in the Gemara, Shammai took a stick and threw the guy out. He came to Hillel and he said the same condition, convert me on the condition I become a Kohen Gadol. Hillel said to him, no problem. Come, we'll convert you. But Hillel said to him, but before you want to be royal, you have to learn about royalty. So if you want to be a Kohen Gadol, no problem. Let's learn about it. So Hillel starts teaching him the laws of a Kohen Gadol. And over there it says, one of the psukim is, Hazar HaKarev Yumas. That a foreigner who comes closer to do the job of a Kohen Gadol gets killed. So he asked Hillel, who is this pasuk referring to? So Hillel said, the greatest, holiest Jew, Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, if he's not a Kohen, and he does the work of a Kohen, he gets killed. So this guy said, what am I, crazy? If the pasuk says the holiest born Jew, Moshe Rabbeinu, whatever, if he does an act of a Kohen Gadol, he's going to die. So he says, you think I'm going to be able to be a Kohen Gadol? For sure I'll get killed. See, he was very angry at Shammai. In fact, the Gemara says he went back to Shammai and he said to him, why didn't you tell me this, that I can't become a Kohen Gadol? Like Hillel did. But anyway, so he said, Hillel brought me to become a Jew and Shammai pushed me away. This is one of the famous Ger stories with, you know, teach me that I'll convert the Torah, you teach me the Torah while I stand on one foot. So one of the stories in the Gemara in Shabbos is this story with the garments of the Kohen Gadol. Okay, so now it says like this. But also, so Eifed. Now, before we go to the Eifed, the apron that the Kohen Gadol wore, there's a very interesting story traditionally, and the Rebbe brings it down in the Sikh, but it's known, there's a well-known traditional story with Rashi, that Rashi was once walking or riding, whatever, and he saw a woman riding a horse wearing an apron. Like a riding apron. And Rashi was a very firm Jew. Rashi said, why did God make me see this? He said, there's something in Torah that I have to learn from this. And when he was learning, when he's writing his commentary on Parshas Tetzaveh, Rashi explains that I'd never heard or seen what the Eifed is supposed to be, but my heart tells me it's like the apron women wear when they ride horses. And he got to that because he knew Hashem showed him a woman riding a horse wearing this riding apron. That's how he understood what the Eifed of the Beis HaMikdash was. In fact, if you look, well, and if you want to see the Rashi, but Rashi says, before Rashi, earlier in the Pas, Rashi says, Leishamaiti v'leimatzasi bebraisa pirush tavnisei. In Pasuk Dalid, Rashi says, Leishamaiti v'leidaisi, I never saw anywhere what the Eifed is. But, v'libi aimerli, but my heart, it's a very funny expression for Rashi to say, my heart tells me it's a riding apron that women wear. Shecheges ha-saris k'sherech v'salasusim. And this Rashi got there because he saw a woman, a noble woman, riding a horse with this apron. Okay, so basically Rashi is going to explain the Eifed, and if you look in the Chumash, you actually see a picture of it on 467. I'm just going to show you a few pictures in this. Okay. This. Do it right. Okay. This thing, this red colored thing, that was the ephod in the front. Okay? The back of it, this is the back of the ephod. Okay, that was the back of the kohen. So on the back, it was a complete garment. And on the front, it went like this, open in the front. And it had a belt on the ephod that tied it. And the two straps went up in the back. In other words, the ephod was an apron with two shoulder straps that came out from the back side of the person, and it went over his shoulders, and it was tied in the front with two stones, with two Avni Shoyam, two expensive stones that had the names of all the Jews on them. Okay, and it was actually this color. This is the color that the ephod was, based on the different materials that we're going to be reading now in the Pasuk. This is what the ephod was. So it's actually a riding apron that was a full in the back, came into the front, open in the front, and it was tied with shoulder straps over the back, tied to the two stones that were here. And the breastplate, the choshen, was tied onto that. And that's the way the ephod went. But we'll see in the Pasuk exactly how it worked. The Pasuk says like this. Also say, if you should make the ephod of gold, tcheles v'agamen, turquoise, purple, and scarlet wool, telashani, twisted linen, v'sheish marzor, and weaver's craft. I'm sorry. The scarlet wool, twisted linen, and the weaver's craft. Rashi explains, ma'ase cheshev means that many times when you weave a garment, both sides look the same. Ma'ase cheshev means it didn't look the same. One side looked one way, like we learned by the coverings of the Mishkan. Some of them were made that they looked both the same both ways, both sides, and some of them were two different sides. Shteich seves cheves should have two shoulder straps. And if you look in the picture in your book in 467, you have the two straps coming in the back. Yelei shnek seisov, it should have be attached to the two ends in the back. V'chubar, and it should be attached. Meaning, those two straps are actually attached to the ephod. It wasn't a separate piece. The ephod was made with those two shoulder straps in the back that were tied. V'cheshev afudasei, and the belt of the ephod asher olav, which was on it, k'maseu mimenu yihiyeh, should be from the same material, zahav tcheles v'agamen telashoni v'sheish mazar. It should be made of gold, turquoise, purple, scarlet wool, and twisted linen. If you see the picture in the thing, at 467, it says where the belt was. This is not the gartel that the kohen wore. This is a separate belt that the ephod, the apron had, that tied it in the front. Like in this picture, you see that the ephod was tied in the front to hold it together with the same material of the ephod. So that was the ephod's belt. That wasn't the Kohen Gadol's Avnet. That was a separate thing, a gartel. But this was actually a belt that was on the ephod to tie it in the front together. Otherwise it would, you know, move apart. And then it had to be together. And then he continues and he says like this. The lokarta shtei avni shayam, you should take two shayam stones, okay? Upitacht aleim, you should engrave upon them Shmeis b'nei Yisrael, the names of the Jews. So basically, what was interesting like this, the ephod was, the shoulder straps were held up by these two stones called avni shayam that later were donated by the Nesim and so on. These stones, they're not the breastplate, these are the stones on top. Each stone had six names of the Shvatim. As the Pasuk is going to say, Shisha Mishmeisam Alo Avinu Achas, six stones six names on one stone. Veshmeisa Shisha Nisarim, and the other six names on the other stone. Kesoldesam, the way they were born, meaning Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Dan, Naphtali on one stone, and God, Asher, Yisachar, Zvulun, Yosef, and Binyamin were on the other stone. Yeah, the right side was Reuven, Shimon, Levi.
Is it onyx? I don't remember.
I'll tell you in a second. Onyx stones. The two onyx stones in the gold settings bearing the names of the 12 tribes stood out on the shoulder pieces in front.
Is there some significance that Shoham is the name of Moshe and Hashem?
It could be, but I don't know. I was thinking that too. Shoham is the same letters as Moshe or Hashem. But it's interesting, Rashi explains that the names of the tribes were 25 letters per stone. Because Rashi says in Pasuk Yud, Chofei Eisis b'chol achas v'achas. Okay? Now, in order for that to happen, there's a whole question in Halacha, how do you write the name Binyamin? Do you write it with two yuds or one yud? Male or Chaser? Now, when Binyamin was born, and he's called Binyamin, that's the only place in Chumash where it's mentioned with two yuds. And that's why the Torah is adding Kesoldesam. You should put the names the way it was when they were born, because then Binyamin has two yuds, and then there's 25 letters on one stone, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Dan, Naphtali is 25 letters on one stone, and God, Asher, Yisachar, Zvulun, Yosef, and Binyamin, Binyamin with two yuds would also be 25 letters on the other stone. And it's interesting that over here, Yosef is the tribe, not Menashe and Ephraim. Because it says, Kisoldaisam, from their birth, when Yosef was born, he was Yosef. He wasn't Menashe and Ephraim yet. So these two Avni Shoyim had the name of all the tribes of all the people of the Shvatim. All the names of the Shvatim. Is. Okay, Ma'aseh Chor HaShevin, it had to be, Pasuk Yud Aleph, a jeweler's craft, like the engravement of a signet ring, so you engrave the two stones, Al Shemez B'nei Yisrael, Musabes, they're encircled with gold setting, Mishpesei Zov, with the setting of gold, Tasa Esim, you should make them. So the Avnei Shoyim were actually in a setting of gold. But they had to be pretty big stones if they're going to have 25 letters per... I mean, you can make it small, but still. They had to be pretty good size stones to be able to have... Huh? Yeah. You have all the names on it. It was pretty big. Okay. You should take these two Shoyam stones, Al Kisves HaEifed, and the shoulder straps of the Eifed, Avni Zikaron, stones of remembrance, meaning Hashem should always see remembrance for who? So Rashi explains the remembrance that Hashem should see the names of the tribes and remember their righteousness and so on. Zikaron Levnei Yisrael, a remembrance for the Jews. V'nasa Aaron Neshmesim, that Aaron should carry the names Lifnei Hashem before Hashem, Al Shteich Seifov, on his two shoulders Lizikardin for remembrance. Okay, now, the Mefarshim explain, all these garments that the Kohen Gadol wore, the Eifer, the Choshen, and so on, were to forgive various sins. And that's why the Pasuk says here that Aaron should carry the names of the Bnei Yisrael. Carrying the names of the Bnei Yisrael actually means that he should get the forgiveness for the Jews. Because what was the whole Aved of the Mishkan? The whole Aveda of the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, the Kayin, was to get Jews forgiven for all their sins. That was the purpose of the Mishkan. So for instance, they write like this. The Eifed, what was the apron forgiving the Jews for? For idol worshipping. Why the Medrash says that, it brings on a Pasuk and Shaftim, that the idol worshippers used to wear aprons. So by the Kohen Gadol wearing the Eifed, he got forgiven for all the sins of idol worshipping. The Michnasayim, like these little pants that the Kohen Gadol wore, was to give for immorality, you know, sexual sins.
How they used to wear aprons?
The Kohen Gadol. What the?
Why did the idol worshippers, what was the purpose of the apron for the idol worshippers?
He just brings down a pasuk and shaved them, that's what they used to do. Jenny used to wear an apron like robe. That was the garments of the priests in those times.
So it wasn't very heavy?
Sure, the Rambam writes, it's very interesting, I mentioned this during between Mechamayv the other day. The Rambam writes, a lot of sins that the Torah forbids is because that's what the idol-worshipping priest used to do. For instance, the Rambam writes, even though it's a chok, obviously it's an illogical mitzvah, the Rambam writes, why did the Torah forbid shatnis? Wool and linen together? Because that's what the idol-worshipper priest used to wear. He says, why did God forbid, you know, the men to cut the payas off and the beards and all that, you know, with razors? Because that's what their priests used to do.
The Kohen Gadol does wear a garment that's woolen linen mixed, right?
All the Kohanim did. The Gartel, the Kohanim wore, that was shatnas. It was made out of woolen linen. And therefore, they're only allowed to wear it while they're working in the Beis HaMikdash. It says in Halacha, the Mishnah says, that when the Kohanim went to sleep at night, they weren't allowed to take off their Gartel and make it into a pillow. The gartel was 3 fingers wide and 32 amos long, 64 feet long. The Kohanim wore. Yeah, they went through. Even the fattest person was covered.
Wasn't it heavy with all the stuff?
That's what we were talking before. It was heavy, you know. Listen, when a soldier goes to war, all the armor is not heavy. And the guns and the back. It's heavy, okay. So you have to do it. You get used to it. You do it. So it says like this. The mechnasayim, the pants that the Kohen Gadol wore, atone for immorality. The mitznefes, meaning the hat the Kohen Gadol wore, was to forgive for arrogance. You know, because you hold your head too high. That's arrogance. So this was for the head. The avnet was the gartel that was worn around the heart area, that improper thoughts of the heart. And that's why the avnet, we said, why was it 32 amos long? 64 feet long. Why? Because it had to forgive for the immorality of the heart. You know, the foreign thoughts of the heart and so on. The chayshin atoned for perverted judgment, because it was worn next to the Kohen Gadol's heart, and judgment, false judgment, comes from, again, the false thoughts of the heart. And the Eifed, like we said, was for idol worshippers. But now we're going to start learning about the Cheshin a little bit. It's interesting. The Cheshin was the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol that had the 12 stones, you know, of the Shvatim that we're going to learn about. The Avni Shayim were 2 stones that they had all the names of the Jew, of the Shvatim on it. Then you had the breastplate that actually had the 12 stones, you know, of each tribe. So it says, the Mefarshim explain, that the Cheshin, we mentioned this a long, long time ago, the Cheshin that the Kohen Gadol wore forgave for the original sin of Adam and Chava. Officially, the Gemara says, it was for perverted judgment. But perverted judgment began when Adam and Chava misjudged the whole concept and they ate from the Eitz Hadas. So that's why the Cheshin Ches, Shin, Nun is the same letters as the word Nachash. The Cheshin that actually, that the Eden wore, that the Kohen Gadol wore, was actually to forgive. There's a whole
Kleyok over here that discusses all these various kalim of the garments that the Kohen Gadol wore, and also because of the Kilkul Adin and the whole concept of the Nachosh and all things. So this is actually forgiving all the basic sins that existed from the beginning of time until on a regular basis.
So why didn't you already go to... I mean, it seems that all the expiation was done in the deserts for the Mishkan, the Tod, the Koshen. Why didn't you just go to Alamaba because of the explorers that sinned again by the Aryan God? Because of the...
No, Shalmat, there was a system.
Sorry?
There was a system.
What do you mean?
There was a system of the process. There had to be a Midbar. There had to be going into Eretz Yisrael. There had to be first base of Migdash, second base of Migdash. All that was in the process.
No, I understand that there is a divine plan, but there's also time where you can bring Mashiach before... through your action, through your expiations. It seemed that here everything was in place to already forgive the sin of Adam and Chava, and going to the desert and hold the Mishkan. I mean, the process in the desert was already expiating what happened in the Gan Eden. Why do we have to go backward? Because of the sin of the spies, or because we had to go through
If there wouldn't be spies, it would have gone straight into Israel, and if there wouldn't have been this problem, Moshe Rabbeinu would have gone into Israel. I mean, if you look in the Chumash, all the stories happened.
So every step we do a mistake, again we go backward.
Why did Hashem allow, or make for that matter, Adam and Chava to sin?
I don't know. I suppose they were at the time the newcomers.
We mentioned Shabbos, that if you make a cheshbon, the whole Eitz Das really doesn't make sense.
Uh-huh.
Okay? According to the Gemara in Sanhedrin, okay, the Gemara goes through the whole Friday's day, step by step, hour by hour, what Hashem did on the first Friday of creation. Okay. According to the Gemara, if you figure the day from 6 to 6, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., Adam Rishon was created at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, 3 o'clock until 6 o'clock, let me tell you what happened. According to the Gemara, not necessarily according to Pshat of Rashi, but according to the Gemara, in 3 hours, Adam was created, Chava was created, with the spare rib and going to sleep and the whole thing. They got married. They had 2 kids, Cain and Hevel, plus the twins that came born together with them. Plus, Cain killed Hevel. Plus, Adam Rishon sinned in the Eitz Hadas. According to the Gemara, this all happened in 3 hours. Very active day. Can you imagine? Raising Cain had a twin sister. Hevel was one of triplets. Okay? There are 5 kids. Husband and wife got married, had 5 kids.
Also grown up fast? Yeah. Like Adam?
I guess so. Now, according to the Zayar, there's a machlekes in the Gemara, in the Medrash, in the Gemara. What was the Eitz Hadas? What fruit? The Torah doesn't say, okay, what it was. Because the Torah didn't want to cause embarrassment to the fruit of the Eitz Hadas. Everybody should say, oh, you caused it. Okay. One opinion says it was a chita, because before the Eitz Hadas, a chita grew on a tree, a wheat grew on a tree. Then it was cursed. Another opinion says it was figs. That's why Hashem made them. The fig tree, right?
Fig leaf.
Another opinion says it was an esrig. Okay, there's a lot of different opinions. Some people say it was ta'ena, some people say it was chita, whatever. One opinion says it was a geffen. Now, according to the Zayar, the initial plan, so to speak, obviously Hashem knew it wasn't going to be like this, but the initial plan was that at 6 o'clock, Adam and Isha was going to squeeze the geffen, the Eitz Hadas, and make Kiddush over it. Freshly squeezed grape juice. Okay? Now, so the question is, the whole Aveda of the Eitz Hadas basically was for 3 hours. If you come over to a normal religious Jew, I'm not talking about somebody that Hashem's hands himself formed, Yitzir Kapov Shalakadosh Baruch Hu, and the greatness of Adam Arishin, okay? His neshama was greater than most Jews, okay? Except Mashiach, says Mashiach, neshama is greater than Adam. But second to Mashiach was Adam Arishin's neshama. Adam Arishin's neshama had within it the neshama of all Jews of all generations were included in his neshama, it says in Kabbalah. So you come to a Jew and say, listen, I know you love this food, I know it's treif, but you know what? In 3 hours, you can eat as much as you want. But restrain yourself, you know, hold yourself back for 3 hours. I mean, you have to be a real Rasha, you know.
Listen.
Now, it's not, and it's not the rabbi told you. God himself spoke to Adam. Uh-huh. You heard it? I don't use the word from the horse's mouth. But Adam is straight from God. And God tells him, 3 hours from now, you're going to be able to eat as much as you want. For 3 hours, hold yourself back. Okay? I mean, a normal person wouldn't be able to do it. Adam Rishon couldn't do it. The answer is, it had to happen. There's a pasuk in Tehillim, Neira Alila al Bnei Adam. God created a libel. The Medrash says, the libel that God made was that he made it happen. God made Adam Rishon from the tree. Otherwise, it wouldn't make sense. The whole story doesn't make sense. Hashem wanted it to happen. Why did Hashem want it to happen? Because Hashem wanted Adam Rishon to become a Baal Tshuva.
Mm-hmm.
Because like this, Adam was a tzaddik. Right? So Hashem wanted that Adam should become a Baal Tshuva. So he had to make a Yerida.
His own efforts to be a Baal Tshuva would be greater efforts than him.
Correct. So, in fact, in Kabbalah and the Chassidus, it discusses the question, how did that level of evil start in the world? How did it come into the world? So the Medrash says, because Hashem lessened the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Hashem says, you have to bring a carbon, a sin offering for me. It's Rashi and Chumash in Parshas Pinchas. Se'ir izem echot l'chatas. Amnashchedish had to bring a communal sin offering. So it says, why? So Rashi quotes in the Medrash in Parshas Pinchas. Rashi says, the Medrash says, God says, bring a carbon for me. I did something wrong. What did I do wrong? I shrunk the moon. The moon complained you can't have two kings ruling together. So Hashem said, okay, I'm shrinking you. So that shrinking of the moon was a refined level of evil in the world that allowed the Chet Yetzadas to happen.
This is later on.
Right. But the point is, why am I saying this is Dastam? The point is that Hashem made all these things happen, that the Beis HaMikdash should be mechaper for it, because then the Jews became Baalei Tshuva.
Mm-hmm. So it's a free choice.
Adam had free choice, that's why he was punished. But from Hashem's perspective, Hashem made all this happen. So Hashem made that the Mishkan should forgive sins, but then the Mishkan was destroyed. So then they built the Beis HaMikdash, and then it was destroyed. And then this is, so this is all in the process, and this is all in the process of getting the world for Mashiach. So all the garments of the Kohen Gadol, I'll give you another example. It says, if you look in Pasuk Yud, we learned before, Shisha Mishmaisam Alo Evan Oachas. Six names and one stone, yeah? So it's a medrash, but the Baal HaTanaim says, Shisha Mishmaisam Al, take the first three letters, is Shin, Mem, Ayin, Ishma. Yeah? That they said, Shema Yisrael. In other words, the 12 tribes whose names was on the Avni Shem, on the stones that held the Eifed, there was the concept of Shema Yisrael, of the unity of Hashem and the oneness of Hashem and the forgiveness for all the crimes that the Jews did. So there had to be a process. Each one, the Cheshen, even though it was always an expression, Cheshen Mishpat, Cheshem Mishpat is a section of Shulchan Aruch that deals with judiciary laws. But not only was it in corrupt judgment, but it was actually to forgive on the whole sin of the Nachash. The Kohen Gadol and the Mishkan showed that God's presence existed in the Jewish people, that he forgave them for the sins. So the question is,
If Hashem forgave the people for the sins, so then it should be, how could there be a destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? If all the sins are forgiven,
right.
So how could it be?
Exactly, every time there is forgiving, and then there is destruction.
Because you have to come to a higher level. And the only way you can come to a higher level is by destroying a lower level.
Mm-hmm.
So the sin is part of the process.
Cleanse.
I'll give you an example.
So basically you're talking
In Shmoneh Esrei, we say, Slach lo novinu ki chatanu, mechal lo makenu ki vishanu, baruch ato Hashem chanu namar b'leslech. Okay. And for those that learn Tanya, you know that it says, that the Alter Rebbe explains, that what does it mean, Chanan Amar B'Lesleach? That Hashem is infinite forgiveness.
Uh-huh.
What does this mean? If I smack you in the face once, I ask you forgiveness, you'll forgive me. If I do it a second time, it will be harder, but you might do it. If I do it 10 times, you're not going to forgive me. Why? Because our human patience and Savlonut is limited. Okay? After a while, we're not patient anymore. Because our patience and our forgiveness is limited. Hashem is marvelous layach, infinite forgiveness. There's no question whether you do it once or a million times. And therefore he says that normally there's a din, if you're in a doubt, you're not allowed to make a bracha. Because maybe Hashem's name is in vain. So when you make a baruch ato Hashem, there's no question, and you say chanun marvelous layach, that God forgives, there's no question that God forgives, because if there'll be a doubt, God would not allow us to make a bracha, because it'll be a bracha in vain. Then he says, what's right away the next bracha we say? Re'enu v'anyenu, baruch ato Hashem, goel Yisrael. We make a bracha, the God redeems us. How can we make such a bracha? The answer is, if we wouldn't immediately sin, we'd all be forgiven. I mean, we would be redeemed. It's because of his constant sins. But what's the purpose of sin?
Tshuva.
I mean, not too many of you heard Shabbos. A few guys were. But the Rebbe has an unbelievable sicha. There's a very weird medrash. Strange medrash. It says, Vayar al kimas kol asher asa, at the end of creation. It says, God saw everything he made, v'nei tov me'od. By everything else said, Vayalakim Kitov. You know, God told us good. The end of creation, God said, Vine Tov Ma'od. Very good. So the Medrash says like this, Tov, Zayetza Tov. Ma'od, Zayetza Hara. Tov, Zemalach of Chayim. Tov Ma'od, Malach Amavis. The angel of death. How could the Yetza Hara and the angel of death be Tov Ma'od? Yetzer Tov is only good. Yetzer Hara is Tov Ma'od. Or the Malach of life is Tov. The Malach of the angel of death that kills us is Tov Ma'od. So what's the explanation? Huh?
Exaggeration.
No. The answer is because only through the Yetzer Hara can you reach a level of greatness that you couldn't reach with the Yetzer Tov. Right. So the Malach Hamavis is the concept of destroying evil, which is the concept of tshuva. Right? So all these things were to forgive, and that was the Mishkan. The purpose of the Mishkan was to forgive for sins. So when you understand the concept of sin, and why Hashem allowed sin to exist in the world, to come to the level of tshuva, so then we can understand what the purpose of the Mishkan. So the question is, then it should be finished with once we're forgiven. The answer is, Hashem said, but now you got to go higher.
We shouldn't be shocked when people sin.
We should what?
Shouldn't be so shocked.
Who's shocked when people sin?
Usually we are, like the religious people, we say, oh, look at this. He's going to be with a non-Jew, and he's going to have children there. And so maybe through that sin, he's going to be brought back to his real path.
Because you never know what's going to happen. According to Allah. It's like,
oh, by the way, you said something before. The Klei Yochid brings down Shoyham, what you asked, Pirush Rabbeinu Bachaya, or Bachya, whichever way you pronounce him, it's the Asius Hashem for Asius Moshe. Yeah, he said that's the two Avnei Shoyham. And he says even more,
the two Avnei Shoyim represented two luchas which were broken. Mm-hmm. Luchas broke. I mean, the luchas and the stones connected. So that's forgiveness for the breaking of the and that's why all the names of the Jews were on the Avnei Shoyim, to show that even though the Jews sinned in the eagle and he broke the luchas, but now they're together. They're holding everything up. But this is the power of tshuva. Yeah.
If someone wants to do tshuva and really go into tshuva, would a Kadosh Baruch Hu stand by him from everything?
Like, would Hashem help him?
Someone that not religious. I don't want to like say names, but doesn't know anything about religion. He wants to do it. He feels that that's him. Like he feels good when
that itself is tshuva.
Mm-hmm.
That itself is tshuva.
But when you feel good doing good deeds, is a Kadosh, then you ask for a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you talk to him, and like your own, like your father, your friend, ask him, can you please lead me in the right way?
Right.
When a Kadosh Baruch Hu help you out and lead you in the right way?
100%. It says in the Gemara, Hashem leads a person b'derech shemelich naisei. A person, Hashem leads a person in the path that he wants to lead. If a person wants to sin, Hashem said, you know what, I'll help you sin too. If you want to do good, I'll do good. There's a Gemara that says, Habal Taher, if a person comes to purify themselves, Messiah Nasi, God helps him. But if you notice, the Gemara doesn't say one who purifies himself. It says, Habal Taher, you're just coming to purify yourself. You didn't even do the process yet. You're just coming with the attitude already, God helps you.
Amen.
There's a pasuk in Tehillim, David HaMelech says, "Kirchek mizrach mimayrov, hirchik mimenu es pshoenu." Like the distance between east and west, God should distance our sins. How far is east from west?
Next door.
East from west is just
very far.
No, all it is a turnaround.
They
all it is a turnaround. If you're going east, you can go a million miles east, and you just turn around, you're going west.
Okay, sure.
In other words, it's very easy.
You should turn.
What?
But you have to turn.
What?
No,
you turn, that's it, you're done.
It's not that simple.
It's that simple.
If you turn, sometimes you don't turn, you stay east west.
I told you, there's a famous story that Alter Rebbe had a chassid. Remember I told you the story, Alter Rebbe had a chassid whose son turned off Yiddishkeit. But he went really away from Yiddishkeit.
Uh-huh.
So the father came, thank you. The father came to the Alter Rebbe and said, Rebbe, help me with my son, I don't know what to do. So the Alter Rebbe said, get him to come talk to me. So he wasn't from, but he was, you know, he respected the Alter Rebbe. So the father said, Alter Rebbe wants to see you. So he comes to the Alter Rebbe. So he says to the Alter Rebbe, let me ask you a question. Okay, you turned off. But you had to go, the Alter Rebbe said, but you had to go so far. Why do you have to go so far? So the kid was a smart kid. He says to him, Rebbe, you don't understand. There's a slow horse and there's a fast horse. He says, what's the difference between a fast horse and a slow horse? That when you go off, when you make a wrong turn, so a fast horse gets more lost than a slow horse, because he goes faster. He says, Rebbe, I'm a fast horse. So the Rebbe said to him, but the difference is, when the horse realizes he's lost and he wants to come back, the fast horse comes back quicker. So the Rebbe said to him, come back. And he became a Baal Tshuva.
Very nice.
Instead,
it's the same flame to come back.
And that's why people who, okay, I said this many times, those of us older generation that remember the 60s, There are many more Baalei Tshuva in the 60s than there are today. Why? Because in the 60s, the attitude of the world, the youth at that time was, you say day, I say night. You say night, I say day. So when you put up a table on campus, let's say, to put on film with people, they would all come to you and they would fight you.
Uh-huh.
But the fact that they fought you, there was a connection. There was a kesher. They were not apathetic. Today, you say day, say day. You say night, say night. I couldn't care less what you say. I couldn't care what you do. You put it. You have a tefillin booth on campus. They'll just walk by. They couldn't care. You want yes and no. It's all the same. So those people you have no kesher to. And by the way, this is the whole concept of the tshuva aspect. The more a person is inflamed sometimes to do evil, that person could become a better Baal Tshuva.
So that's why it says